Hebrews chapter number 6. We'll read a couple of verses in just a moment, beginning in verse number 20. So far in Proverbs chapter number 6, we've seen that wisdom's precepts gives us good fiscal common sense. We saw that it warns against suretyship in the earlier part of the chapter. Not only does it give us good fiscal common sense, but also guides us, clearly showing us the behavior of sluggards and scoundrels, warning us against them and not to be one ourselves. And so we need to guard ourselves against those kind of behaviors in our life, if for no other reason, because the Bible says, as we work down through these chapters, six things, yea, seven things, are abomination unto God. So if for no other reason, we ought to distance ourselves from suretyship and from sluggards and scoundrels and those that we have went through the list the last 2 weeks. Tonight we're going to see that wisdom does something else. And not only gives us and guides us, but notice it guards us from adversity and adultery as well. And so we'll probably only be able to get started on the adversity part, and we'll pick up with the adultery part next week. And I thought about this. Blessed is the person who heeds these warnings. So we find, again, a father giving these words of warnings to his son and his grandchildren. And so let's read here in Proverbs 6, beginning in verse number 20, and we'll just read down through verse number 23 today. The Bible says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instructions are the way of life." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these couple of verses here in Proverbs chapter number 6. And Lord, I pray as we begin to look at this passage and think on these thoughts of guarding ourselves, Father, we see that we ought to guard ourselves, first of all, from adversity. So, Father, I pray, Lord, you'll help us to get settled on this tonight. And we leave these doors in a little while, Father, that we'll have this understanding is that this is what we need to guard ourselves against. And we'll have some truths from your word to help us to be able to do that. Father, we pray for those even now, Father, who can't be here. Some aren't feeling well, Father. Some are traveling. Some, Father, are on temporary duty. Two of our military people are away, serving our nation away from their homes. So, Father, we pray particularly for them. We pray also for their families, Father, you would watch over them, be a help and a blessing to them, particularly, Father, in the area of their children, being a one-parent home for a few weeks, Father. I pray you would just be a help, and the children, Father, would just be on their very best behavior for their parents. So, Father, we thank you. We look forward to what you're going to do in hearts and lives today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice in verse number 20 through verse number 23, you already mentioned it. The first thing that we need to guard ourselves against is adversity. Guard against adversity. Wisdom guards us against adversity. In Proverbs 4 and verse 7, the Bible declares this: wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So we've already have perused through Proverbs chapter 4, so we're not going to belabor that point, but I thought it was worth bringing back up to you again to remind you that wisdom guards us against adversity. Herbert Lockyer says this about wisdom: in the biblical sense, it is the ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding of God's word. Amen. Boy, that's a great definition of wisdom. I think if all of us would have a similar kind of definition, that we would follow the best course of action based upon the knowledge and understanding of God's word in our life. Listen, you and I both would be a lot better off than we already are. That word adversity, it means hardship. It also can mean difficulties. It means misfortunes that often lead to suffering that comes in our life. Sometimes the adversities are our own making, but other times the adversities are not of our own making, just comes from the world that we live in. If you really think about it, adversity comes in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes they're just little problems. Other times they're big, gigantic trials and adversities that come into our life. But notice in verse 20, in verse number 21, notice the call, the call. When someone calls, we ought to listen. Nothing irks me more is that when I'm speaking to someone, their mind is on something else. They're doing something else. They're playing with their phone. They're doing this. They're looking around, looking away. Listen, when someone calls us, we ought to pay attention to them. We live in a day and age where we like to multitask, and I'm for multitasking, but you know what? Sometimes it's like this. We're on the phone, or maybe we're talking to our spouse, and we're reading, and they're doing something else, and we're like, yeah. And they're like, I'm going to kill you, and you go, you know? Listen, when someone calls, we ought to listen. It's no different with God's Word. Notice when we use that word ought, it literally indicates this, that somebody has a duty or an obligation to do something, or that it is morally right to do something, or that it is something important or a good idea. So when someone calls, listen, we ought to listen. Well, I think the call in verses 20 and verse number 21 is a very specific call. It's a call to hear, but it's also a call to heed. I'm going to read those verses again. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. So understanding, as we look at verses 20 and verse number 21, we need to both hear, but also heed the commandment and the law. And those names that describe the Word of God, the commandments and law, describe God's Word. The commandments, if you really think about it, give us direction. But the law shows us the detail by which we are to follow. I think our attitude towards wisdom's call should be these three separate things. I think, first of all, it ought to be an attitude of submission, an attitude of submission. Notice what it says, keep thy father's commandment. Proverbs 1 and verse number 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So again, we hear this idea that we're hearing and then we're doing and we're keeping our father's commandment in submission to him. Proverbs 4:1 says this, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father and the 10 to no understanding. Again, the idea, again being repeated, is simply this, that we ought to not only hear the word, but heed the word. And then as we think about that, the text tells us that we are to keep what we hear. When you think of that word keep, it literally means this. It means to guard. It means to protect. It means to maintain or obey, even this idea of preserving the godly wisdom that we get from God's Word. You see, here's our problem is this, is that we're not so ready to keep God's Word. We like to hear it because it makes us feel good, or maybe it doesn't make us feel good, but we're not so ready to keep that which has been committed unto us, as the Apostle Paul says. And the thought is simply this, that you keep what you cherish. You keep what you value. You keep what you consider important. I know many of you have a little stash place in your house that you put some keepsakes. I know Diana has a little place. I have a little place. Some of the notes that the kids write the pastor, I save those. I keep those. And every once in a while when I'm having a not so good day, I pull them out and I read those. Your thank you notes that you send me, or an email, I print off and I save. All of us have a place where we keep those things. And why do we keep those? Because they're important to us. They mean something to us. And God's Word ought to be the same way to you and I. Speaking of parents, in Ephesians 6:1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20 again says this, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Speaking of pastors, Hebrews 13, verses 7, and then later in verse 17 says this, remember them that have rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God. That's the hearing part, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That's the heeding part. Verse 13 says, obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account. For they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So we find this idea of hearing, hearing and heeding throughout the Scriptures. Even speaking of the Word, Jesus said in Luke 11 and verse 28, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God. That's the hearing. Then he says, and keep it. That's the heeding. So we find that if we are going to have spiritual wisdom, we have to hear it, but then also heed it. And again, the heeding is a lot harder to do than the hearing part. I can promise you that. I'm reminded of this truth that all God can do is warn us to hear and heed. That's all God can do. He can only warn us to hear and warn us to heed. He doesn't force us to hear. He doesn't force us to heed. As a matter of fact, he tells us in his word through the penman James, in James 1 and verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So we find that as James writes it, he kind of reverses it from what everyone else says. He talks about the heeding first, and he says, listen, he said, be ye a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And said, if you don't do that, then you're deceiving yourself. I think this, that most people, including myself, don't always plan on doing anything with what we're taught at home or church. We come in and we hear it. Right? We do hear it, but we don't heed it. We don't plan on how we're going to apply it to our life. So we hear a message maybe today on hearing and heeding God's word, and we think, oh, that was a pretty good message. That was truth from God's word, but we don't plan on how we're going to apply it to our life. I think most of us are like that most of the time, and I think the Lord really would teach us that we need to be quite the opposite of that, that we need to hear and heed and plan on how we're going to do it. As we walk out these doors, I know that in some primitive Baptist churches, even primitive Brethren churches, after the last amen is said and the invitation is done, there is no talking. People, they sit, Plymouth Brethren, sit in their pew for 10, 15 to 20 minutes and not say a word. They don't say bye. They don't say, I'll see you at the restaurant. I'm going to go home and let the dog out. They just sit there. What are they doing? They are thinking how they can apply or heed what they just have heard. Sometimes I think we should just preach Pastor James for 15 minutes and have about 15-minute time of meditation, thinking about how we're going to heed what we just have heard. I think maybe we'd be better off. So whether you agree with it or not, it's in the doing and keeping of what you hear that truly proves what's in your heart. You see, that's how we can show the Lord, and that's how we can show other people that we're not just hearers, but we're doers. And by doing it, after we hear it, proves really what's in our heart. So let me ask you, when you leave, what's in your heart? You just come for an hour and just waste your time coming here? I hope not. I think if we really want to guard ourselves, we'll accept what we are taught by the godly influences in our lives. Whether it be the church, whether it be mom or dad or another mature brother or sisters, if we want to guard ourselves, we're going to have to really accept what has been taught. And after we accept it, we heed it and apply it to our life. Well, we see our attitude should be towards God's wisdom, should be one of submission. But then notice, secondly, it ought to be one of steadfastness. Notice what it said, forsake not the law of thy mother. See, I think in this passage we're encouraged to be faithful to the instructions that have been given to us by our parents and by other godly influences, such as our Sunday school teacher, Pastor James, does a wonderful job in teaching us the Word of God week in and week out, and preaching the Word of God as well. Others do well in their Sunday school classes, but I think we ought to be encouraged to faithfully apply those instructions that we hear from parents and teachers to our personal lives. And guess what? After we hear them, we're not to depart from them. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures," speaking about Timothy. "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And so as we hear and we heed, guess what? We are never to depart from the steadfastness of God's wisdom. But then notice our attitude towards wisdom calls should be one of submission. It should be one of steadfastness. But notice, thirdly, It should be one of sturdiness, sturdiness. Notice it says, bind them continually upon thy heart. And just as the physical heart really is the focal point of our body. Now, we could say it's my eyes or my mouth or my ears, but really, you can lose an eye and still live. You can not have any hearing or any ears and still live. But listen, you cannot live without your heart. Hate to tell you that, amen. In case you're wondering that, if anybody wants to do donate a heart, tell them, no, I don't think I'm going to do that today, amen. And so, because the heart is the focal point of the body, but the spiritual heart, guess what, is the focal point of our soul. And the language here is the same as in previous lessons when Solomon was speaking to his son, and then a couple verses later, maybe a chapter later, he moves from a son to his grandchild. And the son, and by the way of implication, not only a son, but you and I as well, we need to bind these teachings, the teachings from God's word. Where do we bind them upon? Well, the verse tells us from our heart, bind it around our neck, showing us that they are a vital part of our life. God's word ought to be that important to us. And they should be just as much a part of our existence as our heartbeat and the breath that God gives us every day that we wake up. The verse really describes the powerful and life-giving values of these teachings. Biblical wisdom taken to the heart will keep us, but also will guard us. In Proverbs 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of a living God. Not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of our hearts. Again, that familiar verse in Psalm 119 and verse 11, where it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Spiritual wisdom taken to the heart will keep us guarded. Well, we see the call, but then notice in verses 22 and verse number 23, notice the consequences. What's the consequences of heeding God's word? Well, notice in verse 22, we find the constant presence of the heeded advice that we have listened to. Notice what it said in verse 22. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. You can say that this parental advice to his son shows us, it shields us, and lastly, it sharpens us. The words, notice the words in that verse, it shall. Those words, it shall, in verse 22 are repeated three different times, showing us the importance. God's making an emphasis there. That word shall means it will happen in the future. The word it is referencing God's word. We could say the wisdom of God's word. And so the consequences of embracing wisdom is that God's word will be our guide in verse 22. Notice what it says. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Think about this. It guides us. Listen, get this now. His wisdom, God's word, guides us every day in every way. I want you to remember that. It guides us every day in every way. But notice the second part of verse number 22. We notice that embracing wisdom, it will be our guide. But verse 22, the last part tells us it will be our guardian. Notice what it says. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. You know, when is a soldier most vulnerable? When is anybody most vulnerable? They're most vulnerable when they're sleeping. And that's why we need to be careful, literally, not to fall asleep spiritually. And oftentimes the Bible said, it's time to awake. It's high time to awake out of slumber. We need to be careful not to fall asleep spiritually. But then notice the third part of verse number 22. We find that embracing wisdom, it will be our governor. Notice what it says. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. So asleep or awake, home or away, at all times and in all places, the person who has listened to the godly counsel of a wise and loving parent, pastor, mentor, is surrounded by godly wisdom that will keep them from adversity according to God's word. The scriptures tell us that God's word will guide us during the day. The Bible tells us it will guard us at night. It tells us it will speak to us when we are woken up. And this suggests, at least to me, and I hope it does to you, that when we wake up, the first thing we ought to do is seek the word of God. There's some people that do their devotions at night. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, right before you go to bed. But I want to help you. I don't think it's the best practice. I don't think it's best. I don't think it's best, although not wrong, because it's never wrong to study the Word of God. It's never wrong to pray. It's never wrong to meditate on the Scripture, to worship God and pray. But the best time to worship and the best time to consult God's Word is in the morning. Why is that? As we prepare to go out into the world and face the day, that's when we need the wisdom of God to be a help to us. And truthfully, most of us can't remember our name after an hour. That we're told what it is, let alone we study God's word at the end of the night, and then, you know, we're probably pretty drowsy, a little tired from working all day. We go to bed, we get up, and we hit the world running, and we probably don't have very much memory. That's why I believe that the Savior himself rose up early and went out to a desert place to pray. I think that's the lessons taught from the Lord for you and I. Well, we see the consequences of heeding God's word is also found in verse number 23, and it's the constant protection of heeded advice. Notice what it says in 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Solomon seems to be quoting, so to speak, Psalm 119, verses 105, where the Bible says, the word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. And when it's given attention and it's properly valued, God's word, guess what it does? It does bring light to us in our darkness. You say, how does it do that? Well, in verse 23, we find it imparts light in the first part of the verse. You see, light is always a revealer. It always reveals something. It reveals maybe what we don't want to see or maybe what we do want to see. But it also is a protector, and light protects us. And it reveals sin and protects us from sin. Psalm 119 in verse number 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. It keeps us from sinning. It lightens our path. It protects us from sin. You see, wise counsel, spiritual counsel coming from godly people, including his word, lightens our path so that we know where to walk without stumbling. That's what I want to know. I want to know the blessed place to walk. This morning I was taking care of a little something that needed to be done around the church house, and I was working there, and I turned something like this, and I needed to get a little bit closer to it, and I stepped. And guess what I stepped in? No, not that. I stepped in gopher, where a gopher and mole had a little trail and all the rain, and I sunk in like 2-3 inches. It was on my shoe, and I'm like, oh, man. I wasn't following the light. I wasn't following the plan. I wasn't on the right path, and I stepped in a world of mess. And so wise counsel lights our path. God's word opens a way for us to see where we're going. No one should ever want to live in darkness. As a matter of fact, the Lord said this, I come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And I know he's speaking about spiritual darkness. Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. We should not want to live in darkness any longer. I hate the dark, amen. I used to like the dark. I used to hide in places I used to go to because it was dark. I find the darkest place, and I would hide in there while I did what I was doing. But listen, I like light. More light than better. Pastor James and I were talking about replacing the lamps in the kitchen. They've been on and off, burn out. And they're not LED because of the way they are. We can't transform them. And so he said, well, Pastor, you want to order some? I said, yes, let's order some. and I'll get some just like the bathroom, the kind of nice. And he said, you want to get two or three? He said, two might work. And I said, yeah, two might work, but listen, I like light. Let's get three, amen. So if the light's too bright, ladies in the kitchen, put your sunglasses on, amen. Light's better, amen. God has called me out of the darkness into the marvelous light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:8, Paul says this, for you are sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Well, we see it imparts light, but notice the last part of verse 23, and then we'll be done. It also imparts life. You know, Satan would really love to convince us that the way of wisdom is boring and it's a killjoy. That's what he wants us to think, particularly young people. He wants the youngest members of our church to think that living for God is a killjoy. Living for God is boring. There's no fun in it. Let me tell you, I had the most fun I ever had in my life has been since I've been saved, living and serving Jesus Christ. The fun and fellowship I have with the brethren and sisters, the fun and fellowship I have with the Savior has just been wonderful. The way of wisdom delivers us from death, and it gives us life. So as we close tonight, Solomon's reference to the Word of God, which does offer life, we just read, is all the more important because of what he's going to write about and we'll look at next week. The verses following Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23 really give us a lengthy warning again about involvement with an immoral woman. Darkness and death lurk where immoral women live. And while light and life are imparted by Solomon's advice that we follow the Word of God. I'm grateful for this passage here in Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 20 through verse number 23. It teaches us that wisdom keeps us from adversity. And I pray that every one of us, including myself, will hear and heed the call, the commandment, and the law. Next week, we'll pick up with that wisdom keeps us from adultery. Let's pray.